Join us online, offline, and on your mobile at God's Grace Eston Global Commission, GGHC, as we study and rightly divide the word of truth with accuracy and precision. GGHC, grace will speak for you.
Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus, somebody. Thank you so much for having me in your service this morning. Apologies from Pastor Dozier himself. I would like to believe that by the grace of God, I will have something to say that will be a blessing to everybody here. In Jesus' name. Let's just sit down and have our heads for a word of prayer. I want to ask everybody to sit. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. In Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus, our precious Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence. Wherever two or three are gathered in your name, you are there in the midst of them. And we are excited because you're here with us this morning to bring a word with the help of the Holy Spirit that will establish your kingdom in the hearts and minds of your people, that they might receive revelation and insight to begin to function through the kingdom, so that you might be glorified in them and them in you. I take authority against every and any spirit of distraction, and I declare open heavens over this place. I declare that my tongue is anointed with a word in season to communicate not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of your spirit and of power in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, because the eyes of the hearts of your children are flooded with the light of your gospel, that they might come to a revelation of the glorious riches that are in Christ Jesus. Having seen them, begin to walk in them, that they might manifest your glory. Father, I thank you because three is a significant number. And I believe that in this third year, you are resurrecting everything that you have sown in the hearts of this ministry. You are causing the supernatural to break forth, causing your people to rise out of weakness in the power of the Holy Ghost, to begin to function and do the exploits for which you have brought them into your kingdom. Thank you because, Lord, they are girded with strength in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you because your anointing will come upon them, that they will go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit to begin to manifest your kingdom in the earth. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Can somebody shout a louder amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I'm going to ask you to do a few things for me. Whenever I say let's go in our Bibles too, I know that there's a Bible that will be displayed here, but I want to see everybody going to their phone or their Bible to look at the scripture. Okay? Because you have to learn, you have to know how to study the Bible for yourself. Are we listening? It is good to have the screen. The screen is good for visitors. When you are a member of the body of Christ, your sword is the one you hold. If you're going into battle, do you run next door to borrow your neighbor's sword? You fight with your own sword. Am I right about that? So when you're in church and the word of God is being taught or preached, you reach for your sword. As you reach for your sword, it is your demonstration of faith that the Lord will speak to you by his spirit to equip you with a word that will make a difference in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Anybody who is borrowing somebody else's sword is not a serious Christian. So the screen is there, but the screen is primarily for those who are visitors, those who are not born again. Are we listening? If you are a child of God, you should reach for your own sword. Let me tell your neighbor, reach for your sword when the time is right. So, having said that, I don't want to see anybody looking at me when I say, let's go to our Bible to look at something. I expect you to be doing what? Reaching for your sword, so that as God sees you move by faith for your sword, the Spirit of God can impress you with a word that will bring change. Praise God. So we're going to begin by first looking at the scripture that I believe is the theme for your church anniversary. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 18. Praise God. And I'm going to read that to us, and then I'm going to also share with you a few other scriptures and some revelation and insight that I believe that the Lord would have you receive. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 8. But I'm not going to read just verse 8. I'm going to read 17 and 18 to give you more clarity. All right? From verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Verse 18. But we all, with open faces, beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I read it again. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as this by the Spirit of the Lord. Praise the Lord. This passage of scripture encapsulates God's supernatural process, how he moves his children into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. And what do I mean by that? When you got born again, you were delivered from the kingdom of men and transported into the kingdom of God. You did not just receive forgiveness for your sins. You became a new creation in Christ Jesus. What that means is that you became a totally different person. Not only did you become a totally different person, God relocated you spiritually. He moved you from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his son. So let me just help you by painting a picture. If you want to travel to America and you want to get a visa, you have to go to the American embassy. Am I right about that? The American embassy is a physical representation under the jurisdiction of America, located in Nigeria, to give anybody who wants to travel to America the visa to travel to America. Did you get what I just said? If I want a visa, I need to go to America. But I cannot leave Nigeria to go to America. So America came to Nigeria. It came to Nigeria and established a location in Nigeria, so that I can go to that location in Nigeria to get my visa. Whether you like it or not, that location is actually not a part of Nigeria. It's a part of America. Within the premises of that location, the Nigerian currency is not respected. The Nigerian laws and regulations and pattern of life are not followed. Nobody within that location here in Nigeria can be arrested by the Nigerian government. The Nigerian presidency and all the forces of this Nigerian presidency cannot invade that location, because although the location is here in Nigeria, it is not of Nigeria. Are you listening to what I'm saying? In like manner, when you got born again, God relocated you into a location in Nigeria that is a spiritual location. It is called the kingdom of God. Are you listening to me? And you are within that kingdom of God, operating within that kingdom of God in Nigeria. Whatever is happening in Nigeria does not bear impact on you by virtue of the location that you are in spiritually. Am I talking to somebody this morning? I need you to understand what God has given to you in Christ, so that you can begin to function from that mentality. Because if you do not understand what God has done for you in Christ, you cannot function from it. Because faith only comes by revelation. You cannot lay hold on what you have not seen and what you have not known. Are you listening to me? So when we say we're talking about 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, and we're talking about metamorphosis, which I believe is part of the theme here. We're talking about a change that happens to you on the outside because you are changing in your inside. And that change comes because you are growing in the knowledge of who you are in Christ. I believe we are all listening. So, you are here in Nigeria, but you are not of Nigeria. You are within the kingdom of God, operating from the kingdom of God in Nigeria. Whatever affects Nigerians does not affect you because God has put you in his kingdom. Are you listening to me now? From this morning, when you go out, you begin to function with this consciousness. I did not hear an amen.
Amen.
Because this is what Christ came to the earth to give us. This is the glory that he came to reveal to us. I want to give you a scripture in the Bible to help buttress what I'm saying to you. If you go to Isaiah chapter 9, let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 9 very quickly. Make sure you're looking in your own Bible. Now I'm going to read from verse 6. This is a scripture that we usually read during the Christmas season. People have songs they sing. But not many people realize that this is a passage in the Bible that begins to introduce to us not just who Jesus is, but his purpose in the earth. If you read from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, are we all there now? Verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Now look at verse 7. "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever." Then he says, "The zeal of the Lord will perform it." So, this child that was born to come to establish a government. The government was the government of the kingdom he came from and he came to represent. You are here with me? And that kingdom is what we call the kingdom of God. If you are a student of the Gospels, you will see that on several occasions, Jesus, when he was preaching, he will say, "The kingdom of God has come unto you." He will say, "The kingdom of heaven is here." At one time, he was speaking to the Pharisees who were questioning how he was casting out devils. And they said, "This man is casting out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of demons." And he said to them, "Listen, if I cast out devils by the finger of God," in another version, he said, "If I cast out devils through the kingdom of God, or through the Spirit of God," he says, "then the kingdom of God has come upon you." Are you listening to me? Jesus came to bring a kingdom. When Jesus came into the heaven, into the earth, he came as an invading force to establish a new kingdom. Are we listening? When you got born again, you were born into the kingdom of God. Hello. You became a citizen of God. A citizen of the kingdom. Now listen. The New Testament, particularly the Gospels, is about how the kingdom functions. As you grow in your revelation of the kingdom of God, you manifest the glory of God in your life. I believe you're listening. Yes. Who are born again, who have received the Holy Spirit, who pray in tongues, and who serve in the church, very often find that their lives are not a reflection of the testimonies that Jesus came to manifest in the Gospels. And the primary reason why is because they do not understand who they are and where they are. It is not strange that when you read the Gospels, you see Jesus repeatedly talking about his kingdom. In one place he said, "This kingdom, I am not of this kingdom." In another place he said, "Listen, that because I am not of this kingdom," he said, "I can pray to my Father and he will send me angels to fight for me."
He said, nobody in this kingdom will fight for me, but I can pray to my Father. He will send angels from my kingdom to fight on my behalf. He was conscious of the fact that he was of another kingdom. Are we listening to me? And that affected his mentality on a daily basis. It affected the way he approached his activities. It affected the way he ran his business. Let me give you an example. A couple of years ago, a young man who was a bank manager, a big bank manager, somewhere in the South, born again, spirit-filled, he got sacked. And he was sacked because he gave a loan to somebody, a significant amount of money, but he did not go through the due process in following the process to approve the loan. And the reason he did not was because this was a regular client. You know, when you have a client that has a big account, they often come to the bank and you do them favors because you don't want to lose their account. So that morning, somebody came early in the morning and the person came and said, can you give me a quick loan, just a few million, before the end of the day, I will return the money to you. So because he knew this gentleman and the man had a big account and he was a serious business person, that morning he gave the gentleman a few million naira. The problem was that the man did not return the money that day. And by the end of the day, they had to balance the accounts. When the accounts were balanced and they sent the figures to the head office, immediately they issued him a query and he had to go to the head office. When he got there, they said, what happened? When he told them what happened, they immediately sacked him. This is a gentleman who was owing a lot of millions, you know, because when you work in the bank, back then, I don't know about now, they would give you loans to buy a car, give you loans to pay your rent and all that. So this was somebody who had been in the system and was settled in the system, and now suddenly he's out of a job. Suddenly he has to pay back all his debts. Suddenly he's left with nothing. And to make matters worse, with this kind of a testimony, you can't get another job in that industry. So he was depressed. Now, his wife gave me a call and said to me, said, I need you to talk to my husband. I said, I don't know your husband. He might not listen to me. She said, Pastor, he knows about you. I said, okay, fine. Let him call me. This person I'm telling you about till today, I've never physically set my eyes on. So this young man calls me and he begins to tell me how big his problem is. He's talking to me about his problems on the phone. I am praying in the spirit. Why am I praying in the spirit? I'm praying in the spirit because in the kingdom of God, we pray in the spirit. In the kingdom of God, we pray mysteries. When you pray in the spirit, in the kingdom of God, you are praying in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will give you interpretation of what you're praying. While I am praying in the spirit, the Holy Ghost tells me to give him one scripture to go and meditate on. So he when he's talking, I interrupt him and I say, listen to me. Your problem is not as big as you think it is. And I said, if you will do what I ask you to do, you will find that this thing you call a problem is actually an opportunity. So I told him, I said, listen, I want you to go to Ephesians 3 verse 20. Now, you can put Ephesians 3 verse 20 up on the screen. If you have a Bible, go to Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. All right? I want to just show you something. Ephesians 3 verse 20. The gentleman was looking at the problems and the challenges that he was faced with on the outside. He was listing them out to me, telling me how difficult it's going to be for him to get ahead in life. I interrupted his complaint and I said, listen, I just want to give you a simple instruction. I said, go to Ephesians 3 verse 20. Now, I'm going to read Ephesians 3 verse 20 to you here. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what? That is where? I'm going to make a statement. I hope I don't offend anybody. There's no need praying for more power. All the power you need is where? Is where? In you. Did I say that, or is that what's in the Bible? Is that what is in the Bible?
Yes.
It is in the Bible. You see, the gentleman was looking for help outside, but there was help inside. Now, unto God, who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all. So, here you are. Your struggle is to pay back a loan of 5 million. God can do exceedingly, abundantly, above 5 million. Are you listening to me? Yes. Here you are. You need a breakthrough in your business. You need an open door in your business. And you are a child of God. You have the Holy Spirit on the inside. You are born again. You are in the kingdom of God. And you don't know what you have on the inside. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh where? Tell somebody, worketh in me. Look at someone and say, the power works in me. The power works in me. The power works in me. So the power is in me. I said, listen, all I need you to do for me is when you wake up in the morning, for the next 7 days, when you wake up in the morning, I want you to spend a few minutes and just thank God. Father, I thank you because you are doing exceedingly abundantly above all. You are doing far beyond whatever challenges ahead. And the power is working in me now to make it come to pass. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I told him, I said, for 7 days, in the morning when you wake up, at night when you go to bed, before you sleep, I said, just thank God that his power is working in you. When you think about what you just went through, just thank God that the power is working to turn it around. Are you listening to me? Are you listening? Now, listen to this. While I was sharing that scripture with him, the Lord said this to me. The Lord said, this young man has not lost his value. Because you see, he'd lost a job, but he did not lose his what? He didn't lose the power. He did not lose Jesus. Praise God. So I said to him, I said, listen, you have experience, you have education, you have exposure, you have connections. God has connected you through this job. I said, God can take all those things and make it a business for you. Praise God. He said to me, he said, Pastor, I registered a company, but I've done nothing with it. I said, well, that is the beginning of your business. And I said to him, within 7 days, as you are declaring this word and thanking God, he will give you an opening. Now listen, by the fifth day, I was in Guarantee Trust Bank, somewhere in Okota. I was inside the banking office, wanted to cash a check. My phone was vibrating. I pulled out my phone. He was the one calling me. I caught the line. He called me again. So I quickly stepped aside and I said, I'm in the bank. I can't talk to you right now. And I caught the phone. So he called me again and I looked. I said, I'm in the bank. He said, Pastor, just check your email. Check your email. I said, okay, I'll check it. So when I was done, I stepped outside the bank. Just stepped out of the door. I picked up my phone, opened the email. He had forwarded me an email from a real estate company. The real estate company wanted somebody who could help them source for a loan of 1.5 billion naira. They heard about him. They heard he had worked in the bank for a couple of years. They heard he had worked in loan acquisition. And they said, listen, if you will help us to acquire this loan, we will pay you a 1.5% commission of the total. If you pull out your calculator and do the maths, his commission came to 22.5 million naira. You ask, so where did the opportunity come from? From the power that is at work in him. Listen, God is working in heaven, but his work is coming through the power that is working in you. Are you listening to what I'm saying? God, you know, some of us think that heaven is somewhere that is far. Do you know that heaven is in you? Go to Luke chapter 17, verse 20. Luke 17, verse 20. Luke chapter 17, verse 20. I want to show you something that Jesus said. Very quickly. And when Jesus was demanded of the Pharisees, are we there? I'm waiting for somebody to answer. Are we there? Yes. In Luke 17 verse 20, and when Jesus demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Verse 21, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for lo, the kingdom of God is what? Is within you. Tell somebody, the kingdom of God is within me. I don't like the way you said it. I want you to tell somebody with some attitude, with some confidence, the kingdom of God is within me. See, I want you to begin to change your perception of who you are. I want you to begin to change the way you see yourself. Because when you change the way you see yourself, you will go from glory to glory. When you change the way you see yourself, there will be a metamorphosis. There will be an evolving in your life. You will be amazed at who you will become on the outside. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Yes. This man I'm telling you about, I never met him. It was just a phone call. Just a few instructions. Just sit with the word for a season. Give yourself, gaze at the word. Behold the word for a season. And let the power on the inside of you begin to affect things on the outside in your circumstances. You see, this is the problem that I have with most Christians. They have no time for the word. I want to show you something about Moses. Go to the book of Exodus 34 with me. Exodus chapter 34. Let's look at this. And if you would go with me to verse 29. Let's read. We will read from verse 27. But before we read, listen to this. Every problem you have has a solution if you will sit with God. Are you listening to me? Every problem you have. I don't care how big. That man thought his problem was big. He said to me, Pastor, I have 5 children. Pastor, I have school fees. Pastor, this bank is asking me to pay back the millions that they gave me to buy the car. Pastor, I can't find someone to buy the car. And even the person I found, the dot he wants to give me is nothing compared to what I'm owing. Pastor, I have rent. My rent is due. Pastor, there's so much shame. And you see, while you're busy talking, God is not impressed with your problem. Because he is able to do what? Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or imagine. Did you hear what I just said? I don't care what the problem is. He is able to do exceedingly. Can God find me a husband? Exceedingly. Abundantly. Above all that you ask or imagine. Can God open a door for me in high places? Exceedingly. Abundantly. Above. Can God heal fibroid? Exceedingly. Abundantly. Above. But it begins with you coming to a recognition of what you are carrying. Help me tell your neighbor, I'm a carrier of the presence of my Father. Tell somebody else, I am a carrier of the power of my Father. You must develop the mentality of Jesus, constantly talking about himself and the Father. I am in the Father and the Father is in me. The works that I do are the works I see my Father doing. Are you listening to me? It must become a daily interaction, communion, fellowship with you and the Holy Spirit. So that you can come into a consciousness that releases the power of God from the inside. Tell your neighbor, the power is on the inside. Now, I want to show you something about Moses. Moses did not have what you have. He didn't have what you had. If you go and read the whole chapter in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 1, you will see that the Bible described what Moses had as the ministry of death. The glory that they had in the Old Testament only brought judgment and condemnation upon the Israelites. I don't know if we are aware of that. So that the New Testament, when you compare the glory in the New Testament that came through Christ with what they had in the Old Testament, is called the ministration of death. But even with the little that they had, Moses manifested God's glory. And he manifested the glory of God because of his attitude towards the word of God. Are we listening? If I ask you, how much time do you spend meditating in the word on a daily basis? I wonder what you will say to me. Let's look at Moses. I said to you, Exodus 34. Now look at this. From verse 27, I only read from verse 27. And the Lord, are you with me? And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Moses. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came to pass, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses knew not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with the people. Did you see that? Moses went up a mountain. He sat in the presence of God for 40 days and nights. What was he doing there? He was listening and writing. Listening and writing. listening and writing. Listening and writing. 40 days, he put aside food and water and just dwelt in the presence of God. God spoke the words to Moses. Moses recorded the words that were spoken for 40 days. Let me tell you, if you spend 40 days, forget even the fasting. If you spend an hour for 40 days every day, sitting before the word, listening to the word, writing, I promise you the miracles that will come into your life, it will cause the ears of your neighbors to shake. For 40 days, Moses did not even know that he had gone through a change. Look at this. Verse 30. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face did what? Shone. And they were afraid to come near him. You know, there are some Christians that Satan visits regularly. There are those that he runs away from regularly. Are you listening to what I'm saying? When you find a Christian that seems to have peace on every side, you have found a Christian who invests in the presence and in the word of God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? There's a man of God, he has a phrase, and I like the phrase. He says, can you hug a transformer and survive? How much time do you spend in God's presence? How much time do you spend beholding his presence? How much time? David said, one thing have I inquired of the Lord, this one thing will I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord, to behold his beauty. Are you listening to what I'm saying? One thing. Some of the problems that you are running around to solve would fall off you if you spent time with God. Tell your neighbor, spend time with God. Tell your neighbor, learn to spend time in his presence. Go to Luke chapter 5. I want to show you somebody who was struggling. Struggling because he was full of activity without fellowship. And that is the testimony, unfortunately, of many Christians today. Activity without what? Fellowship. I went to minister somewhere in Maryland a couple of months ago. They asked me to come and talk about business breakthrough because I have an anointing about that for Christians. Entrepreneurship, business breakthrough, and all that. But if you call me to come and talk to you as a business person and I start talking, you'll be confused. Because what I will talk about, this is what I'll talk about. Many people think that they need strategies for breakthroughs. All you need is the voice of God for a breakthrough. Did you hear what I just said? Do you know everything responds to the voice of God? Do you know that everything responds to the voice of God? Do you know why everything responds to the voice of God? Because everything was made by the voice of God. Are you listening to me? Everything. Everything. That man that had a breakthrough, 22.5 million naira. Where did he come from? The voice of God. God said something to me. I said something to him. I said to him what God said to me. He did what God said through me to him. And by the fifth day, I want you to think about this. How many people do you know that have started a business? They started a business and on the fifth day of starting the business, they entered 8 figures in millions. How many do you know? If you were doing it the way of the world, they'll tell you you need 1 year to settle first. You know, when you start a business, you will suffer losses as you are adjusting. Listen, in God's kingdom, there is no trial and error in God's kingdom. Because, you see, it is finished in God's kingdom. You're just here to reap what other people have done. Did you get what I just said? In God's kingdom, the work has been finished. Your assignment, like the Israelites who were standing in Kadesh Barnea, who were looking upon the promised land, God said, listen, I am giving you the land. In God's kingdom, in business, you don't achieve, you receive. Did you hear what I just said? In God's kingdom, you receive. It's God giving you your inheritance. Oh, come on, somebody. Are you listening to what I'm saying? In God's kingdom, as his child, you have an inheritance. Hello. Yeah. My brother, when his wife took him, the baby was just in the womb, 2 months or so old. He already had open bank accounts for his child. And the child was not yet even in the physical world. Every parent provides for their children. How many of us are you a parent? Am I right? Do you ever think of depriving that baby of succor? You want to. You are compelled to. The baby has no idea right now as you're carrying that heart. He has no idea who you are per se, at least consciously. But the baby knows that whenever it needs to eat, it will find succor. Are you listening to what I'm saying? As a child of God, you have to come to that recognition of who you are in Christ. Even the lions might suffer lack, but not me. Are you listening to what I'm saying? When you're praying in the morning, you don't cry. You give praise to God. Because God is no longer just God. He's now your heavenly Father. And the word Father also means source. Source. He is your heavenly source. Are you listening to me? So your approach with God shifts beyond religion into spirituality. God is not somebody that is a stranger to you. God is now your Father. So you relate with him as a son or a daughter would relate to their father. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Yes, you come before his presence with no restraints. If you as a parent, you went out, once your children hear your knock on the door and they see you, they say, "Daddy, Daddy," what do? They run towards you and jump on you. "Daddy, what did you bring for us?" They know that you will never come empty-handed. Is anybody listening to what I'm saying? So there has to be a shift in your mentality. Understand that if you are pursuing money, you are not living like you're a child of God. You're living like people of the world. Did you hear what I said? You are living like you are not a child of God. And your actions are saying you are not a child of God. So it is denying you of your inheritance. Because how we know your faith is by your works. You can be saying, "I love God." You can be saying, "I serve God." You can be saying, "God is my Father." But actions speak louder than words. The book of James says, you can see their faith. "I will show you my faith by my works." That's how you will know what I believe. You will know what I believe by what I say. You will know what I believe by what I do, how I live my life. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I can share with you testimony after testimony. My first trip out of the country ever, on my birthday, I knelt down and I said, "My Father, what do you have for me on my birthday?" And he said to me, "Get up, call this person." I called this person. And he said, "Ask the person, what do you have for me on my birthday?" The person, I said, "What do you have for me on my birthday?" Another man of God. He said, "Ah." He asked me, "Do you have a passport?" I heard in my spirit say yes. I didn't have a passport. I heard in my spirit say yes. Now, you say, "Pastor, you lied." No, in God I have all things. Hey, I don't know if you heard what I said. You see, when you wake up in the morning, change the way you pray. Stop crying. Stop crying. Stop crying as if you have no father. Are you listening to what I'm saying? When you cry, you are saying you are an orphan. When you wake up in the morning, pray like you have a father. "My Father, my Father, my heavenly Father." Are you listening to what I'm saying? Jesus always boasted about his father. Go and read the Gospels. Always talking about my father, my heavenly father. "He loves me. I dwell in him. He dwells in me. He's the one that does the works through me." Always talking about his father. What do you talk about? When you live here today, what will you talk about tonight? What will you talk about tomorrow? When people are talking about you know, when people are talking about Nigeria, I pray for them. Me, I'm in Zion. I'm an ambassador here. Did you hear what I said? I am an ambassador here. I function from the kingdom. I am immune to Nigeria's economic crisis. I pray for Nigeria. I'm not a part of the crisis. I suffer no lack. Do I look like I'm suffering? No. Everything I'm wearing, I didn't spend a dime on it. It's provided by the kingdom. You say church. No, I'm not even in a physical church now. I just write, I preach and I teach, and then the books that God blesses me, and I am blessed beyond measure. God opens doors. Are you listening? Yeah, you say, "Ah, it's because you're a pastor." No, no, no. It's because I know he's my father, and I am his son. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So you must function from that mentality. Listen, let me say something to you. And I just said this to you in person. One morning, God said to me, "Son, stop giving your offerings and your tithes in naira. Give it in dollars." You know what that means? It means if you ever, whatever you are giving, it means you must start multiplying it for it to make sense in dollars. So that you, are you listening to what I'm saying? But from the moment I started doing that, I started getting open doors from outside the country. People started sending me money from outside the country. Hello. Hello? Yes. How? The voice of God. Jesus said, "My sheep hear what?" They hear what? They hear what? They hear my voice. There's a voice for the man who has a father in heaven. His father will talk to him. His father will speak to him. His father will instruct him, will show him the way to go. But it's your responsibility to begin to function like you are in the kingdom of God. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So if you go to Luke chapter 5, I want to show you something in Luke chapter 5. We'll read from verse 1. But before I read, by this time, Peter had not yet met Jesus. He didn't know anything about the kingdom. But the kingdom knew him. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, before I became born again, the kingdom knew me. You know, even in the physical world, I had a testimony, was it 3 days ago? My wife was sharing with me about two people. They are now in their 70s or 80s. They were both abandoned when they were children. They met each other somehow and became great friends. For 60 years, they were best friends. But they now began to think, we look alike. We like the same things. Can we find out where we're from? Only to discover that they were both brothers. Their mother gave them away for adoption. But you see, blood is thick. Now, if blood is thick, what about spirit? You see, you're here. Before you got born again, God already knew you. Oh, is anybody listening to what I'm saying? I wish we had time. In the book of Psalms, it was David writing. He said, before you formed me in my mother's womb, you knew me. Before you formed me in my mother's womb, you knew me. You are in the kingdom because you are his child. Did you hear what I just said? Did you get what I just said? You are in the kingdom because you're what? You have always been his child. But when you came into the earth, you lost your way and he brought you back in Christ. You must function here like a child of God. Now, so what I'm talking about is this. Peter, expert fisherman, all the experience and expertise to do well in business, but he was struggling. You know, you can have all the education, like many graduates we have in Nigeria, and you're struggling. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? Can anybody relate to what I'm talking about? You toil to get into school, you got into school, you did well in school, or at least did well enough to get out and get a job, couldn't get a job. You tried to start something, the business, it wasn't working right. Peter, expert fisherman, not just an expert at fishing, it was his father's business he inherited. So we're talking about a skill or ability that had been in the family lineage. Are we listening? He receives this business, but he is a struggling fisherman. Hello. Yes. One fateful day, like it happened with you. You know, for many of us who got born again, it was trouble that drove us into the kingdom. Can anybody be honest and just wave their hand and say yes? Yeah. So one fateful day, Peter, trouble. No fish, caught nothing. He's by the seashore. He's cleaning his nets. Jesus has a crowd he needs to minister to. What does Jesus do? The Bible says he sees two boats. The Holy Spirit tells Jesus, enter the second boat. He enters inside. Then he turns to Peter and calls Simon. Or rather, his name then was Simon anyway. It's not yet Peter. He says, Simon. So look at this. He entered Peter's boat, then he called Simon. He entered Simon's boat, and then he called Simon. Why? If someone is inside your boat and he calls you, it'd be difficult for you to tell him to get out of your boat. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. He enters the boat, then he calls Simon. He says, Simon, come. I need your service. I need to preach. Do you know that every one of us has been called to preach through what we are doing? Hello. You see that gentleman who had that breakthrough in 5 days? Do you realize that by just sharing his testimony, he's preaching the gospel? Do you realize that that testimony is a powerful testimony? That people will want to come to know Christ? Yes. How is your business or career relevant to God? Someone say, I tithe. The tithing is not enough. The tithe is even God's property first. I so see. This is good, but you need to move beyond that. So, Jesus calls Peter. Now look at this. Peter comes, gets in the boat. They go out from the shore for a distance. Jesus starts preaching. While he's preaching, what do you think that Peter is doing? What's Peter doing? Help me, somebody. He's listening. He has no choice. He has to listen. He can't get out of the boat. The boat belongs to who? To Simon Peter. He can't leave the boat. The boat, if he leaves the boat and leaves Jesus, he's leaving what he's doing. All right? Jesus teaches the word. He's teaching the crowd. Peter is forced to sit and listen. By the time Jesus is done with teaching, he turns to Simon Peter and says to Simon Peter, go a little further out into the deep. Let down your nets for a catch. What was Simon Peter's response? Go to Luke chapter 5. Look at verse 4. What was his response? And you see, here, as you read this scripture, I want you to think about your response. Think about how you have responded to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, particularly when you claim that you are busy in your career or business. Think about it. Think about how your career or business has impacted on the kingdom's agenda. Are we here? Think about how your career has impacted in the communicating and the propagating of the kingdom of God on the earth. I want you to think about it. Because let me show you something. When we look at Peter's response, and I'm going to read in a minute, the reason why God often bypasses people who are rich and powerful and mighty is that when he gives them an instruction, they look at their abilities. Am I right about that? Yeah. God says, I want you to buy this property and give it to this orphanage. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Yeah. But if you were hopeless, helpless when God saved you and brought you into the kingdom, and God says, I want you to buy this property and give it to orphanage, you will remember where you're coming from. Hello? Yeah, you remember I was nothing. If God says I should do that, I better do it. And in doing it, you get blessed. Here is where I'm going. It's the reason why you see that the Bible says the gospel is preached to the poor. It's because when God brings you into his kingdom and begins to speak to you, a lot of what he will tell you to do will not make sense, but it will make faith. Are we listening? Yes. So, why is that important? Look at this. This is why what I said is important. Verse 4. Now, when Jesus had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a draught. Look at verse 5. And Simon Peter, answering, said unto him, Master, read for me somebody. Master what? Thank you very much. Look at that. We've toiled what? Master, we spent all night. Do you know why they were fishing at night? I don't even know why he was fishing at night. Do you know why? If you're a fisherman, you know that the best time to catch fish is when? Why? Why at night? Because quiet, that's one reason. What other reason? The water is cooler, so the fish will do what? They will come up. So, Peter was a master fisherman. He had the technique right, but nothing was working. Let me tell you. I wish I had time. I don't have that time. I don't know. Maybe I need to jump that. What I want to say to you is this. I said in a summary. You need to understand that the opposition to your success is not flesh and blood. The opposition is who? Who is the opposition? The devil. Do you know that your opposition is the devil? The only adversary you have is one. His name is Satan. You have no other adversaries. Every other physical person is simply an avenue through which Satan attacks. Is anybody listening to me? Now, look at this. Let's say this was a real plant. This is the stem. These are the branches. If I want to kill this plant, will I kill it by attacking the branches? When I cut all the branches, what will happen? It will grow up. You see Christians attacking people as their problem. Meanwhile, Satan is the root of it. So if you want to solve the problem, what should you be dealing with? But look at this. How do you deal with spirit when you are flesh and blood? So, it means that if you want to be successful in life, you need to embrace who you are in Christ and start operating by the Spirit. Are we listening to what I'm saying? Stop operating by your what? Your own reasoning, your own expertise, your own... You will not succeed. And Peter said, Master, we've toiled all night. We've used all our physical techniques. We came at night when everywhere is quiet. We were quiet. We came quietly in the boat. We waited. We saw the fishes dancing. We threw the net and we caught what? Nothing. He said, but nevertheless, what? At what? Nevertheless, at your word. Now, do you see the reason why I talked about meditating the word? Do you see why I said you need to stay in God's presence? Do you now see why when Moses spent 40 days and nights in the presence of God, writing and listening, the glory of God manifested in his life? Are you listening to what I'm saying now? Do you now understand what you need to do to begin to go through metamorphosis and go from glory to glory? You need to give yourself to the word of God. So Moses said, Peter said, nevertheless at your word. Now, let me say this to you. Do you realize that if Jesus had just said to Peter at the beginning of this entire interaction, Jesus just entered his boat, said, Peter, let's go out, let down your nets. Peter would have said no. The reason why he did that was because he had heard the word. Faith comes by what? And hearing does what? Gives you faith. The word of the Lord. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. Hearing gives you faith. He had sat under the teaching of Jesus. Faith came alive so that even when Jesus told him to do something that did not make sense, he listened to his spirit and did what faith told him to do. He threw his nets, and the Bible says he caught a boat sinking, net breaking harvest. Somebody here, within 30 days, a boat sinking, net breaking harvest is coming your way. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Because as you have heard this word and you continue to hear this word and you begin to align, you begin to readjust your schedule to begin to put God as priority, God begins to speak and instruct and doors begin to open in your life in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to share a testimony of a young man. Everywhere I go, I share his testimony. Young man, just finished school from LASU, here in Lagos on his own, not much of any support. He was a part of the ministry. We were using an event place for the ministry many years back. And if how we got the place, as another testimony. So, one day, I came to the facility because I would come there to pray and meet with people. And the owner of the facility said to me, Pastor, we need to build a website. Do you know any young man that can build a website? As she asked me the question, this young man's name came to my spirit. So I said, I know somebody. Let me call him and find out. So I called this young man. And I asked him, I said, can you build a website? He said, I can, sir. I said, good. I want you to come and meet me tomorrow. He came, and I said to him, you are going to build the owner of this facility a website, and I don't want you to charge them any money. What did I just say? Now listen, if you saw the event center, you would tell, if you were operating from your senses, you would say, make sure you charge them at least 1 million naira. You know those event centers that you walk into and everything's automatic. You want to take wash your hands, you put your hand under, the water will come out. You know those things, those kind of, that's how this place was. To rent the hall cost a fortune. But listen, God brought me to that place. In fact, how we came to the place was that I sent someone to look for a facility. They couldn't find a facility. I was driving home with my wife. I was being driven home with my wife. And the Spirit of God said to me, I have a place for you here. So during the week, I came to the facility. When I came into the facility, I met the manager. The manager said, we have no space for any church. I said, there is a place for me here. He said, we have no place. I said, there is a place here. God told me. The guy looked at me and laughed. He said, what is this guy talking about? He said, there's no space here. I said, take me upstairs. Let's look around. He showed me. He said, yeah, this place is taken. Unless you want to use this place. I said, no. There's a place for us here. So as we were going downstairs and he was escorting me to the gate, a lady walked in through the gate. Young lady, you would not even know she was the owner of the place. As I saw the woman, I walked towards her and I greeted her. I said, good morning, ma. She said, good morning. I said, I'm Pastor Emmanuel. God told me you have a place for me here. She said, Pastor, follow me. I have a place for you. That's how we got that place. But listen, because of the way the woman received me and responded to God's word, I said to the young man, as God said to me, don't collect any money from her. Just collect the money for domain name. I don't know if anybody is into that. And collect money for hosting. I said, do it for them. And because the boy, the young man, he was a boy then, I just married him off last year. The young man believes the word of God in my mouth. He said, okay, sir. Now, listen. Build them a website. After 1 month, the woman calls me again. Ah, pastor, I need that your boy again. I said, oh, no problem. She said, no. The CEO of Lanre Badmus Industries, West Africa, needs a website. Did you hear what I just said now? The CEO, the owner of Lanre Badmus Industries, West Africa. Now, you need to go online and check what Lanre Badmus does. They are into automobile lubricants and all kinds of products. They are big. The man happened to know the woman. God will divinely connect you. I said, God will divinely connect you. Listen, the man happened to know the woman. She happened to be sharing with him. Ah, we now have a website. They're like family friends. He said, oh, really? So she opened the website. He saw the website and said, ah, we need a website. Can you send us the people that did your own? Now, listen. So she calls me and then I said, okay, no, I'll call the young man. The young man goes to meet her. She tells him, go and meet the owner of Lanre Badmus. He told me, he said, sir, as I was entering the premises, I was afraid of fear catch me. Massive structure. Somewhere in Okota there. You wouldn't even know they are there. He said he walked in and they put him in one room and all the big boys sat down around the table. So Oga says you are building us a website. I mean, they were all confused. Why would Oga be telling, we have a policy. God will bend rules for you. Amen. I said, God will bend policies for you. He said, so the one sat down there and they said, okay, so you're building a website for us. They said, okay, give us your company account number. The man didn't even have an account number. This young man. But when God wants to bless you, he will bypass laws. Did you hear what I said? There's a young man that God helped me to raise up in the faith. He has never gone for a job interview. You will never go for a job interview. Oh, I don't know if I'm in the right. Is this God's glory? Or maybe I'm in the wrong church. Is this God's glory? Am I in the right church? I said, you will never go for an interview. You will never need to. America will send for you. Listen, you have to enter into this grace we're talking about. Understand that the glory is a mystery. Is that people wonder, how did you do it? Are you listening to me? People will begin to ask you, how? How did you do it? So listen, he sat there. They said, okay, so give us your company account. He said, he called me. He said, sir, as he called me from there, he said, sir, I don't know what to tell them. I said, tell them the truth, that you don't have a company. Your company is being registered. Because I had been telling him for months, go and register your company. You say, you'll be looking at me. Because you know, some people, where they are coming from, it's difficult for them to see where they can go to. Do you know that happens to people? When you're coming from somewhere so poor, that when they tell you God is giving you your own house, you laugh. Have you been there before? Like Sarah laughed when they told her you are going to be pregnant this time next year. She laughed. Have you been there before? You say, ah, ha, ha. Hey. She laughed. God said Sarah laughed. She said, no, I didn't. She said, you laughed. I heard you laughing. You are going to laugh this year. Yeah. I say you will laugh. Yeah. I don't want to digress. I was going to tell you, see, sometimes when I'm praying, I just laugh. My wife come and say, are you okay? I say, I'm fine. It's God titillating me. God likes to do things to make you laugh. You will laugh this year. So I try to tell them the truth. Don't lie. Tell them you are in the process of registering your company. Do you know? The owner of the company told them, he said, listen, the boy is doing the website. Ask him to give you any account number. Hello. They paid ₦500,000 initial to balance ₦500,000 at completion. Did you hear what I said? Go and ask how much they charge for website. It was the first time he had ever built anything like that. He had to involve many people. What am I saying? I am saying this is the glory that God is talking about. Walking in divine dimensions that cause the ears of men to marvel when they hear your testimony. So Peter, he lets down his nets. In fact, it was actually one net he let down. Jesus said, let down your nets. Peter let down one net. Because Peter was looking at his experiences. Looking at how he had struggled. You know, struggle can rob you of God's grace. I don't know if you know that. God is telling you something. through your man of God, telling you God will bless you, and you look at where you're struggling and coming from. That's the reason why you must spend time in God's word, because it's only God's word that can deliver you from those imaginations and those ideas that are robbing you of the breakthrough of God in your life. Peter spent time in the presence of God. He sat before Jesus. He heard the word. The word caused him to come alive on the inside. He had faith to let down one net, and all the fish in the lake found his net. Your blessing will find you. Amen. This week, somebody here, your blessing finds you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So I'm rounding up now. What am I saying to you? I'm saying to you, it's time to change the way you live. Change the way you live. Go to Proverbs 3 verse 5. Proverbs 3 verse 5. I'm going to read to you 5, 6, 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Did you see that? The instruction is very simple. I will break it down further for you. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on what? Understanding is reasoning and logic. Heart is spirit. God says it's time for you to start living from where? From your spirit, not from what? From your reasoning. Let me share something with you. When I was still in university, in my third year, I was supposed to do my industrial attachment. So I went to visit a cousin of mine who was doing his own IT in mobile producing. Sandfield. I don't know if you know that building there. I don't know if they're still there. So he said, come and visit me. Come and do lunch with me. So I went to go and do lunch with him. When I entered the building, and he came to receive me, and we went to the lunch, where they do lunch. Oh my God. As I entered and I saw the food that they spread everywhere. 3-course meal. I said, God, this is where I'm doing my IT. This is the place. It's here. Are you listening to me? So when we were done eating, after the 3-course meal was an amazing meal, there were expatriates everywhere, the way people were treating everybody as everybody was a king and a queen. As we were going, I said, yo, please, I need to come here and do my IT. He said to me, I can't help you. He said, you need to know somebody in Mobile. I said, but I know you. He said, no, he's there to do his IT. He can't help me. Now, look at this. As I was going home, I heard the Spirit of God. Where did I hear the Spirit of God? Was it here? Where was it? In my spirit. I heard the Spirit of God ask me, don't you know me? Hello? Don't you know me? I said, I do. He said, good. Now you follow my instructions. So the next morning, because when the Holy Spirit says follow instructions, it means go into a place of prayer. Hello? Go into a place of what? So the next morning, I was up early in the morning. I was praying in the spirit, praying in tongues. And he gave me a scripture in Joshua chapter 1. Go to Joshua chapter 1. I'm rounding up now. Joshua chapter 1. All right. Let me get there so that I can read from my Bible. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. Joshua 1 verse 3. Can somebody read it for me loud? Go on, go on. You're right. Go on, go on. Okay, read for me, madam. Every place. Hallelujah. So that was the word that came to my spirit. Now, look at this. As the word came to my spirit, I knew it meant I needed to go back to mobile producing. Why? The word says every place that what? The sole of my feet shall tread, I have given you. So I entered into 1, 2, 3 buses from Okota to go back to mobile producing. Now, this time I didn't call my cousin. In fact, he wasn't even there anymore. I finished his IT. As I arrived at mobile producing, as I got down from the bus, I heard the Spirit of God say, cross over and walk around the fence. Are you listening? Does that make sense? That's why I say you need to be a person of the word. Does it make sense? Go and walk around the fence. If you are not somebody who is a person of the word, you will never listen to that and do it. Never. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
And your breakthroughs come from foolish things. Did you hear what I just said? Yeah. I can share testimony. I don't know if I still have time. Sir, you need to let me know how much time I have left. All right. Now look at this. I got there and I was, as I crossed over, I said, God, hey, how do I even manage and walk on this fence? And the security will knock and say, come here, what are you doing here? So I just crossed over, I started praying in the spirit. I got beside the fence, I walked past the security post, and I was just, I declared, wherever my feet shall tread upon, God, you have given to me. Quickly, don't waste time, quickly walked there. Then I crossed over and got in a bus and went home. Think. I entered 3 buses to go somewhere to walk around and went home. About a month or two after my father died, my father and I were not very close. I refused to go for the burial. But eventually I went. Thank God I went. After the burial, I was in the family house. You know, I don't know if it's tradition, but I was family house. The people were coming. They were coming to greet the family. So this man comes in to greet us. My mom sees him, gets up and hugs him, introduces him as my uncle. He's a chemical engineer. I was doing chemical engineering at the time. So the man says, you're doing chemical engineering? That's good. What year are you in? I said, I'm in my year 3. He said, good. You should be doing your IT now. I said, yes. He said, where are you doing it? I said, I'm doing it in mobile producing. Was that a lie? Wherever the sole of your feet shall tread upon, I will give to you. Or I have given to you. Which one is it? If your feet have tread on it, God gives it to you. That's what that word says. Yes? So on the basis of that, I said, I'm in movie producing. He now asked me, so what department are you in? I said, I'm in movie producing. He said, I know. Who is your supervisor? I said, I'm in movie producing. He started laughing. You know why he was laughing? Why do you think he was laughing? This guy. Something is wrong here. Or maybe, you know, he was looking at it from the flesh. I was acting and speaking from the spirit. He now said to me, are you sure you're in movie producing? I said, I am there by faith, sir. He stopped laughing. He now said to me, when you come to Lagos, come to my office. So when I got back to Lagos, I went to his office in Ikeja. Within 2 months, I was a movie producer. Are you listening? This is the glory that I'm talking about. I am saying that there's a dimension that you enter into when you become a fellowshipper, not a church goer. There are 2 different things. Hello. A fellowshipper, not a church goer. The Father seeketh they that will worship him in spirit and in truth. In Isaiah, he said, with their mouths they sing, but their hearts are far from me. Hello. Not a church goer. I go because if I don't go, pastor will call me. No. I go because I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. I go because in his presence there is fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I go because I am a fellowshipper, not a church goer. Are you listening to me? You need to listen. You need to listen. You need to listen. We are in times and seasons we can't afford to play church. These are the last days. Some of you here lost loved ones during the pandemic. Yes or no? They are saying in Europe that there's a 3rd wave. People are claiming, let me tell you, there can be 15th wave. I am settled. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say, you are my refuge, you are my fortress, you are my God in whom I trust. Surely you will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from every noisome pestilence. You will cover me with your feathers. Under your wings will I hide. Your truth is my shield and my buckler. You have to enter that dimension. Are you listening? When there's a casting down, we will say there is a lifting. So when people are talking down, I'm talking up. I am not a church goer. I am a fellowshipper. And I'm saying to you, it's time for you to begin to manifest His glory. And the only way you will do that is to sit in His presence. There's a scripture, but I won't go to that because I'm out of time. In the book of Luke, I believe, it was Mary and Martha. Jesus came to their house. Martha ran onto the kitchen and was preparing all manner of things. What did Mary do? Sat at His feet. Martha was perambulating. In church, listen, thank God we're all sitting, because I don't like churches where I'm teaching and people are what? That church needs help. When it's time for the word, everybody is sitting. So Martha came out. She was upset. She even thought she was even in the right. I don't know if you know that Mary was the one in the wrong. Master, tell Mary now. Mary should come and help me in the kitchen. Martha, Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are troubled by many things. Waka spirit is proof that you worry too much. Waka spirit. Always, you know that from people like that, they're always busy, busy. It's worry that is driving the activity. And there's no blessing there. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Everywhere around me is full of grass. I just turn and I eat. I don't run around looking for grass. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
You have to enter into the revelation. Before you go to work, spend time in the presence of your Father. Let Him make you laugh. Enter your day with joy. Therefore, with joy shall you draw forth from the wells of salvation. There's nothing you can access in God's kingdom without joy. So you must spend time in His presence to get joy before you go out. Are you listening? I wish I had time. Stand to your feet. I'm going to pray for you, but just stand. I'll end with this testimony as you stand. We had this lecturer in OAU Ileife. I don't want to mention names. An atheist. Back then on campus, interludes between lectures, Christians would get on stage to preach the gospel. I don't know if you were ever, you know, there was an opportunity to come and preach to a crowd. If this man catches you preaching here in his class, that is guaranteed failure. So if the man is coming and you are preaching, you see people running, as if you know the man is coming because somebody jumps off the stage and is running away. The man will come up and spend the first 10 minutes bashing Christians. He said, all of you wasting time. No God will save you from me. No God can save you from me. You now mention his name as he's tapping his chest. No God can save you from me. All you so-called born-again Christians, he said, you cannot pass my course if you miss any class. You cannot. Do you realize that those words he's speaking, that's Goliath speaking? Do you know that spiritual warfare? You know, so you see, that's why you need to be in the spirit. Because some of us don't realize. We think that the most dangerous things are guns. No. The most dangerous things are words. Words will defeat a man with a gun. Words will take somebody's anointing. You say, how? Ask Elijah now. Elijah folded up his ministry because of what?
Words.
He ended his ministry. And it was a woman that even said those things to him. She just laughed and sent a messenger. Please deliver the following message to that man of God. Elijah who worked miracles. Are you listening? Even Jesus, the Bible says he in the spirit of Elijah. And a woman got up and spoke. So I always tell women, please, you don't know how powerful you are. A woman, some women have reduced, they don't know why the man is failing. The man is failing because you never say anything to lift him up. And you are the neck, he's the head. The neck turns the head. Does anybody get that? So whenever he looks at you, you are frowning. You went out yesterday, no money. Came back today, no money. Tomorrow when you go out, no money. You see those seven words? The man's business has folded up. And you are praying, Pastor, I don't know why his business is not working. I don't know why. You are the one who has shut it up. That's why when Jesus was going to a certain man to heal the child, some people came from there and said, why trouble the master? Your daughter is dead. Immediately, the Bible says, and Jesus turned to the man and said, Don't be afraid. Believe only. Words. Words. In the kingdom, words are the supernatural. So that I was a student on campus. The man spoke. He now said, because of you so-called believers, my lecture will hold at 6 a.m. Let me see how many of you will go to pray in sports center. Because in Ife, there's a place called the sports center. Christians used to go there to pray a lot. So he said, I'm fixing my classes 6 a.m. in the morning. Let's see how many of you will go and pray. Fear gripped all of us. Even me, I've abandoned my quiet time with God. Started going for his classes. One morning I was in a hurry. Hey, I just heard God. I miss you. Hey. I started crying. I said, God, I miss you too. But they have threatened my life in this. And I heard God say, cut covenant with me. Let's see what I will do. So I went to my small fridge, opened the door, took agege bread, took coke, bread and what? Wine, communion. I said, God, I commit myself. I will never miss another daily devotion. If you will give me an A. Amen. So that meant I could not attend any class. Are you listening? And the man had said, if you don't attend my classes, you will fail. The first 1 month, fear. Every day I was doing that communion, I was just imagining F. I was just seeing the failure as if with bright colors. My friends were asking me, where were you yesterday? I couldn't even tell them I was doing devotion. Shame, you know, you were doing what? When you say devotion. Ah, hey. So they say, where are you? I said, I was just indisposed. Fear. After 1 month, I now heard that there was going to be a test. And it's negative marking. God said, you go for the test. I said, okay, Lord. So that morning, I went for the test. They did the test. Results came out. I had 80%. He said, now, do you believe? I said, Lord, I believe. He said, good. Now, here's what you will do. Because the man was not giving us lectures. He will give you a handout. And then tell you, you must come and follow me as I go through the handout. Do you understand what I'm saying? And the handout was like Greek. So one morning God said to me, put that handout on the floor. I put it on the floor. He said, now I want you to stand on it. I stood on it. He said, as Satan was bruised under my feet, so you bruise this curse under your feet. Now begin to march. I began to march and pray in tongues. And I said, good. He said, now the only time you read this handout is when you are eating. I said, eating. He said, yes. Because when you are eating, you are usually happiest when the meal is really. So read only until God is my witness. So when I will go to Old Buka in Ife and I'm eating, is when I'll be reading. My friends will be laughing at me. You know they're serious. You they read while they job. You don't attend classes. Something is wrong with your brain. Then they'll be laughing at me when I... By the time the exam came around, I dressed up, bought pencil. As I got to the exam hall, God said to me, he said, you are the head and not the tail. Go and sit in front. I sat in front. All those that are looking for how to... Where do they sit? Is he in front? The crowd at the back was great. The front was free. I sat there. Nobody beside me. The exam started. As I opened the question, it's as if they opened the textbook beside me. I downloaded in 45 minutes. What I was supposed to do in 3 hours took 45 minutes. When I finished, I looked around. I was saying, I looked around. I said, I looked at my script again. I went through everything. I said, what is happening? Why is everybody... I left. I had more than an hour left. By the time these exams came out, two people had A. I was one of those. Now, listen. Am I saying that to blow a trumpet? No. I am saying that to say that every good thing in my life has come in the Spirit. And not just great. It came without stress. It came because I was led. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Not some. Trust with what? All. Like when he said, bring ye what? All the tithes. Did he say some? All. With all. Don't lean on your reasoning. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will do what? Divine direction will start coming. Go here. Do this. Don't do that. Call that person. Right now. Okay, stand here now. I can share testimonies. Join hands. Let's just join hands with somebody. Let's just begin to pray as one body. Just join hands and begin to pray. Pray in the spirit. Zabrahandeshka lehem bregadi kalihanda sanda hakalate. Jahakadishka nahande galadi. Madaska lihem bregadish. I want you to pray out loud. Pray out loud. Zahate, Zahabrahanda handa hakalate. Lahagadish kalahambre gadi pevre pasanda handis kalihende gadish limpokoto shanda handa gate lihembre sika nahakadish lahakadish abrahanda handis kalehende galadi. Oh Lord, move amongst your people. Lord, move amongst your people. Let this be the beginning of heaven on earth. Days of heaven on earth. Cause there to be a move of the Spirit in this place that has not been seen before. Let this usher in a new season, a new dispensation, a new dimension of your grace in this house. Let there be indeed metamorphosis, that your people will become teachable. They will become listeners, doers of the word, not just hearers. That they will become fellowshippers, not just churchgoers. Oh Lord, that your word will go into a new dimension. Your word will take on a new shape. That the Spirit of God will have free course in this house. Madish kazandri handis kanaham brahandas kalik poko sanda handes kalik adish zabagade shabrahanda handa galadi mendega sika naha kadish kali hebregadi limpo koto sanda handas kalahanda galadi hambrega shika dish kate.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I don't know if you're here or not born again. You can drop your hands. Just shut your eyes for a minute. I don't know if anybody's here. You may be a visitor. You're not born again. You want to give your life to Christ. I only have a minute. If you're here within the sound of my voice, you can wave your right hand. I'm just going to pray with you right now. In the absence of anyone, I'm just going to pray for us as a family. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the grace to be able to speak a word in season to him that is weary. I thank you for divine insight to be able to declare your full counsel. I thank you for the words that you put in my heart that I should share with the people. And I ask that these same words they would meditate on, that they might receive the benefit of it that you have equipped it to manifest in their lives. And I ask that, Lord, as they go, they will be doers of the word and not just hearers only. I thank you, Father, for this house. I speak a blessing upon this house. I declare expansion on every side. I declare a new dimension, a new degree, a new dispensation, O Lord, a new expression of your unction in the house, and indeed through the man of God that you set over this house. I thank you because your grace comes in a greater dimension. I thank you for the new spirit, the new heart you're giving your people to be make themselves available to do your word and do your will in this house. And I thank you that they serve you with joy and gladness. I thank you for the due dimensions of testimonies and breakthroughs that are coming into this house. Even from this week, we begin to testify. I release that unction for laughter in this house in the name of Jesus. And I thank you because it is so. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Thank you very much for having me.